Well, a couple of hours ago, we just had Frankie's burial service, actually. And, you know, I'm telling Frankie stories today. I didn't tell all the Frankie stories at the service, so I'm going to tell you a couple Frankie stories. One of the stories about Frankie that's really interesting that actually I just recently learned is that Frankie was born in a jail. Now, let me tell you how that happened. Her dad was actually sheriff of the town in which they lived and ran the county jail. So that kind of helps with the story a little bit. All of your shocked faces, I could have got a lot of money for that picture. But anyways, so she was born in the jail. In fact, her mother would cook meals for all the prisoners in the county jail. And this was one thing I shared during the service. She was born in a town called Towanda, PA. In fact, she said that Towanda was so small that if you sneezed on one side of it, somebody would say, God bless you, on the other side of it. And Frankie used to sit right over there. In fact, right in front of where Helen's at right now, I think, is where Frankie usually sat during the service. And as she went on about her life, she ended up being in the ways before World War II and served as an officer in the military, was responsible for keeping track of all of the naval ships during that time, and ended up going on to work for the NSA, what is the NSA today. So, the interesting thing about Frankie, we often joked with her, if she ever told us what she did, she'd have to kill us. And she'd have a little smile on her face. But she would never do that, always kept everything confidential, but such a sweet spirit. And so as much, it's interesting too, one of the things I didn't share at the service, Frankie's book that she was still reading before she passed away was actually about a woman who helped decode conversations from the Russians and things like that. So she was actually reading a spy novel, of all things, at 104 years young, as she was living out the rest of her life. So I think it's just important when the oldest member in our congregation, somebody that certainly was and is a pillar of this church, that we just take a moment to remember the gift of her life. And we take time to celebrate, really, the groundbreaking woman that she was and the things that she did. And let me just close with this. Just a few months ago, she was still driving her red Camry from the colonnades just right over here to church and going to the store and running some errands here and there, and had the deep honor and pleasure of actually donating that church to another person who didn't have a car. And Frankie wanted to make sure that that gift was passed on. And so someone else has a car now and is able to drive. And actually, she came to Frankie's service today because she never had a chance to meet her. So just some stories behind the scenes of so many things that are going on in the way the Lord moves in our lives. You know, the other neat thing about Frankie was very devoted person. Every week you would see her here if she could be here. Every time I visited her, she would always ask me, Father Joe, is anybody sitting in my place? It was like she wanted to make sure her place was saved for when she came back. I said, Frankie, you know what? Nobody's sitting there. We're making sure it's empty. But, you know, even if you come back in a wheelchair, we'll find room for you. It'll work out. But unfortunately, she was never able to make it back. But all the times I visited her, we'd usually close in prayer. And sometimes I would open my eyes just to see what she was doing. Very, very devout. She was always very devout, very faithful. But it just seemed to me that in these last few weeks and days, that energy, that light in her, just really burned even more brightly. And as much as we wish she was just still here, I wish she could have celebrated the 50th anniversary of St. John's next year and have been here with us. I can't tell you how many times she told me she was ready to go home. She had outlived everybody else at 104. She was ready to go home and see her husband, Byron, and other loved ones and friends that were on the other side. So we just give thanks that Frankie's prayer has been answered, and just the blessing of knowing her on this journey. Which leads me to a question that I have for all of us as we think about Frankie's life, and think about, again, one of the dimensions of her life, her own spirituality, her own faith. how much that was a part of her journey, literally all the way to the end. The Lord being her shepherd through the valley of the shadow of death. How important that was for her. The question I would ask each one of us is, who fills and controls our life? You know, as I continue this series on the Holy Spirit, you know, the reality for each one of us is, I think there really is an overarching theme in each of our lives. There's someone or something that really fills and controls us. There's a passion that we have that kind of drives us and that's important to us. And as we heard today in the gospel reading from Luke, we read about before Jesus ascending, that he opened the minds of the disciples to understand the scriptures, how the Messiah had to suffer, rise from the dead, and repentance of sins will be preached to all nations. And you are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. So we all know that the disciples were very excited to see their risen Lord. They wanted to go out and begin to share with him immediately. But again, Jesus said to them that they weren't ready. They weren't ready to do it yet, even though they were really excited that they had actually seen the first person ever to have been raised from the dead. I mean, imagine that. Well, in addition to Lazarus, right? Saw Lazarus. But this was the risen Lord after being crucified and buried. And see, what Jesus was saying to them was simply this, that they needed to be completely filled with the Holy Spirit. They needed that. You and I need that. The Holy Spirit that dwells within, that leads, controls, and empowers. And we read about this in the book of Acts. And again, look at the second scripture today in Acts 2, 42 to 47. It's just full of what the early church looked like. This is how the early church lived. They were fellowshipping together. They were praising God together. It said they went from house to house, being in each other's company and praising God. And it says at the very end of that scripture, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And so there is something very special about the life of the early church. One of the most important things, I think, is that the Holy Spirit had full control in their lives. You know, one of the things I've reflected with you on over the past few weeks is the reality that is that as the Holy Spirit came upon them in that place on Pentecost, that first Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit literally blew the doors off of the place where they were and literally blew the doors off of their lives. I mean, you know, turned their life upside down to see so many people coming to Christ as they were speaking in other languages that they had never spoken in before, and people were hearing the gospel in their own native tongue. Could you imagine how exciting that would be, right? Julia speaks Russian. I don't speak Russian. I would be really excited if that came upon me. I was able to speak in Russian to you, right? That's how that would have been, to be able to speak in a language that you've never spoken in before by the Holy Spirit of God, witnessing about the glory and the majesty and the loving person of Jesus Christ. And many people coming to Christ. That day, 3,000 people came into the church. And that's an amazing thing that happened. I mean, really, the disciples that were cowering in fear in that upper room, after the time of Pentecost, when they received the fullness of the Holy Spirit, after the Holy Spirit controlled their lives, they were different people. They were no longer afraid. Bless you. And that Spirit just came through them so powerfully that people's lives were turned upside down as well. I reflected with you on this last week. One of the things that we need, and one of the things our world desperately needs in this moment, is to be turned upside down. We need to, in our own lives and the lives of other people, wherever we may be, move more from any darkness into light. We need to move from anger and unforgiveness to mercy. We need to move from a sense of division and brokenness to a sense of what might unity look like and what might building a bridge between us look like through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so you see, that what that means is turning our world upside down. The most important thing that you and I can do right now in relationship to the world is go in the opposite direction that they're going in. It's the most important thing that you and I can do. Walk and try to walk in love toward one another. Try to walk in mercy toward one another. Try to listen. Try to build a bridge. Try to offer them the Lord and the Holy Spirit and the difference that they can make in their life. To be controlled and to be filled by the Holy Spirit is to live a life that's empowered. It's to live a life that is different, and it's to live a life that is more and more growing in God's grace. William Law, a devotional writer, in 1761, yeah, they were writing devotionals back then, observed, "A failure to realize our salvation can only be worked out by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, has placed the Christian church today in the same apostasy that characterized the Jewish nation. And it has occurred for the one and the same reason. The Jews refused him who was the substance and fulfilling of all that was taught in the law and the prophets, that would be Jesus Christ. The Christian church is in a fallen state for the same rejection of the Holy Spirit, who is given to be the power and fulfilling of all that was promised in the gospel. And just as the Pharisees rejection of Christ was based on a profession of faith in the messianic scriptures in the Old Testament at the time, so church leaders today reject the demonstration and power of the Spirit in the name of sound doctrine." This insight by William Law was written in 1761, describing the state of the church at that time. Then, and 258 years later to our present day, in many ways, that apostasy still remains. And it is very simply this: we have failed to understand as the church our incredible need of the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm so grateful for the creeds. In just a few moments, we're going to do the Nicene Creed. And in there, we're going to affirm about the Holy Spirit being a part of our lives and part of the Trinity and all that. In a few minutes after that, we're going to have the Great Thanksgiving, and we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit as well, and the Father and the Son. And all of those affirmations and all of those prayers are incredibly important. But hear this: if the Holy Spirit is not really a living, active, relational part of your life, so what? So what? What difference does it make? Again, I've said this to you before. If you have $1 million in the bank and it just sits there and you never ever use it, so what? You can give it to me if you want. But I'm just saying, you get my point, right? You get my point. The reason why Jesus said to them, wait for the Holy Spirit, is because you need a living relationship in which your whole life is filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit and empowered by the Holy Spirit so that you can live the Christian life. Do you have that relationship? And again, over the past few weeks, I've been talking about what that might look like. You know, again, I haven't seen the Holy Spirit. I believe I felt the Holy Spirit. I believe I've seen the Holy Spirit in action in my life and in other people's lives as well. But I've never actually sat down in front of the Holy Spirit and had a conversation. And that's because we're called to live in this relationship with the Holy Spirit by faith. We believe the Holy Spirit is real by faith. And we relate to the Holy Spirit by faith. That connection can be just as real as you looking at somebody face to face. It's just a matter of, do you believe? And are you willing to just take a few moments each day and say, Holy Spirit, I welcome you into my heart and my life. You know what? I think Father Joe's crazy. I've never really related to you before, but I'm going to listen to him and give it a try. Will you please make yourself real to me? Will you please empower my life? Will you please open my eyes to the scripture? What did it say in the gospel lesson today? I love that. It said Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Hello, I'm not just making this stuff up. Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Let me say it one more time. Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures. You and I need spiritual intervention. We need spiritual help. We need spiritual power to open our minds to understand the scripture. I've been reading this book for a long time. I've read it cover to cover. I can't even tell you how many times. There are still moments where I open this up in the morning and I'll read a verse I've read 1,000 times. And then, boop, light bulb goes on. I see something I haven't seen before about that scripture. I understand something about that I've never understood before. And it opens up a door for me in my life that I never saw coming. And the same will happen for you as well as we ask the Holy Spirit, as we ask Jesus, as we ask the Father to open our minds to the scripture that we might be able to perceive and understand. What Jesus did in that moment is he opened up their minds on the road to Emmaus to understand all of the scriptures in the Old Testament and all of the prophecies about him. All of them in that moment, and they understand. So in closing today, I ask you and me, who fills your life? Because whoever fills your life is the one who's going to be leading your destiny and ultimately where you end up. Pastor Cimbala asks, in our times, don't you think we need a revival of people being filled with the Holy Spirit? Don't we need something to offset the powers of the world that are encroaching upon us and into our children's lives? Do we have to just roll along and feel defeated as we see our families broken apart and our world as well? Doesn't God have any kind of antidote for what we're facing in this moment? And he wrote this years ago. And the same question hasn't changed. May your life and my life be controlled, be filled, be directed, be empowered, be infused with love and joy, and most especially, the presence and power of the Holy Spirit.